Recently, Molly Hemingway of The Federalist wrote, "The bedrock of the American Republic is that elections must be free, fair, accurate, and trusted." This is from Molly's new book called Rigged, How the Media, Big Tech, and the Democrats Seized Our Elections. Molly Hemingway joins us right now on Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb. And Molly, it's great to have you on the program. Thanks so much for being with us.
It's great to be here with you.
Okay, so if anybody even questions the results of the 2020 election, then they're accused of promoting what CNN often calls the big lie. What are we to make of this? And by the way, thank you so much for writing this book. Congratulations, and I'm sure you're getting tremendous feedback.
Yeah, I found after the 2020 election, the way that you weren't allowed to talk about it to be completely suspicious. So, you know, we all lived through it. It was the weirdest election of our lifetimes, but then you weren't allowed to notice that in any way. And so I wanted to just research and investigate for myself so that I could understand what actually happened. And I'm so glad that I did, because as many people had already figured out, there were a lot of things that were inappropriate about the way we conducted the election, hundreds of changes to the laws and processes that we used to vote, intentionally flooding the zone with chaos and confusion and mail-in ballots, and decreasing the scrutiny of those mail-in ballots. Mark Zuckerberg gave nearly $500 million to embed left-wing activists into our election system. And there was just so much there that I'm really glad I looked into it.
Yeah, well, it's a terrible thing, though, that's happened. Let me ask you this. I'll get right to the point. Do you think that it's possible Trump won Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Arizona, and Georgia? Is that possible? Any of those four?
My book, I don't know quite what you mean by that, but my book is about how Joe Biden won. And what I mean by that is, you know, how did he get these numbers of votes that were reported? And so I did talk to a bunch of people in Wisconsin, Georgia, and Pennsylvania who were very sane, very sober people who said, had these shenanigans not taken place, there's no doubt in their mind that Donald Trump won. And that's true even Pennsylvania, where there was like an 80,000 vote margin. Part of what the Democrats did is they spent big money to keep third parties off the ballot in Pennsylvania. That's because people like to vote for the Green Party in Pennsylvania. You know, they routinely get 40 or 50,000 votes in a presidential election. And then Mark Zuckerberg invested so much in Philadelphia to ramp up this vote squeezing operation by embedding, again, left-wing activists into the government election offices. And economists have looked into what the effect of this Zuckerberg funding was. In Texas, which was not one of the states they prioritized, they yielded an additional 200,000 votes for Joe Biden. Well, they were targeting Philadelphia. I mean, they gave $10 million to Philadelphia. Do you think that they were able to squeeze quite a few tens of thousands of more votes out there by inappropriately embedding into the government election offices with the Democratic Party's Get Out the Vote operation? I do.
Time magazine had an article, and you mentioned it in your book, in March, and they wrote of a cabal of liberal entities that all joined forces to defeat Trump. Tell us about that.
Well, Time magazine had a cover story written by a woman who's got very good ties with the Democratic Party. She was Nancy Pelosi's biographer. She wrote that there was, that was her language, a cabal of powerful people who all united to ensure that Joe Biden won. And the way they did it was by suppressing real news, elevating not real news, deplatforming effective conservative voices, changing all of the election laws in the middle of the game, and then funding this operation to take over government election offices. And she put like a real cheery spin on it and said that this was all to, quote unquote, fortify the election. But really, it was to rig the election to make sure that Joe Biden was going to win. And what's amazing about the operation is they did everything. I mean, they took over media and elections and all this. And Donald Trump ended up losing by 43,000 votes across three states. I mean, that is stunning how close it was, given how the entire establishment threw everything at making sure he didn't win re-election.
What were those three states? I assume one was Georgia and maybe the other Arizona. And what would be the third? Am I right?
Yeah, so if Wisconsin, Georgia, and Arizona had gone the other way, that would have meant that there was an Electoral College tie, at which point it gets thrown to the House of Representatives. And Republicans, and then it goes by state delegation, gets one, each state delegation gets one vote. And Republicans at that time had more state delegations, which means Donald Trump would have won re-election.
Why did Donald Trump have so many enemies? Was it all those mean tweets?
Well, there's no question that his personal style was polarizing. Some people loved it. Some people hated it. But I argue in the book that it had to do with his policies. He was not just reshaping what American foreign policy was, American economic policy, American border policy, you know, policies directed toward the working class instead of the super wealthy. Those policies bothered people so much and were such an existential threat to the establishment that they knew they had to take him down.
Wow. So there really was a swamp, or is a swamp, I should say. In the book, you make this reference. You say, in the wake of what the left itself describes as a revolution in voting, and then you go on to say other things. Can you describe, what are you talking about, this revolution in voting? And go ahead and you can elaborate on this.
Yeah. So I think people don't realize how much voting laws have changed over the course of our country's history, by which I mean that before we were even a country, to vote, you would leave your farm and you would go to a judge and announce publicly who you were voting for. And people realized that this was ripe for corruption, because if you owed someone money, they could say, I'll knock some of what you owe off if you vote for me, you know, at the next town council meeting. And so we slowly moved to a private ballot scenario, and we also slowly moved to having our presidential election on one day. That is not something we always did. It was something we did to avoid corruption and fraud, because there was a presidential election that had some serious questions about the integrity because different states were voting on different days. So we moved to a private ballot where the government prints the ballot, and you go into a private voting place, you check your name off a register of voters that are already pre-approved, you cast your ballot in private so nobody can coerce you. And what's happened in recent decades is we've been moving away from some of those protections and that level of integrity. We've drastically expanded mail-out balloting, where a ballot gets mailed to you or gets mailed to an address that you used to live at, and then someone signs the ballot and claims that they're the person who is registered to vote. Sometimes all that's required is a signature and a date. Sometimes people don't even require that. Like, if you don't do it, they still count it. So we've always known that this rapid expansion of mail-out balloting is ripe for fraud. But what happened in 2020 is, with COVID as an excuse, yes, Democrats were able to ram through all of these voting changes so that we went from like 30 million mail-out ballots in the previous presidential election to 100 million plus. And all of the chaos and confusion that comes with that, all of the difficulties of making sure that the person who filled out the ballot is actually the person that was mailed to, or whether they're legal to vote, and all these issues just become like a huge mess. And that's why it took people so long to find out like how many people had voted, much less who they had voted for.
You point out that the die was cast even before Election Day itself.
Well, I was talking to all these people on the Trump campaign, and I interviewed, you know, dozens of people, up to and including President Trump. And I talked to them all about what election night was like. And Election Day went really smoothly for Republicans. They couldn't believe how well everything was going. And only later do they realize that's because they nailed how many people, like they nailed what their expectations were on how many people would vote and what it would take to win. And everything was coming up roses for them. But they didn't realize that this mail-out ballot operation had basically meant that it was lost before Election Day even began. I mean, that's where you have months of people able to harvest ballots from people who don't want to vote or are unable to vote or aren't really legal to vote. And this had all been done for months prior to Election Day. And it was just too late to do anything about it. Even though Republicans had been aware this would be a problem, they weren't quite aware how much of a problem it would be.
Now, these,
as I mentioned, it was a very close election.
Sure. Now, and these mail-in ballots that you've been talking about, this is not the same as absentee ballots, which are very valid, and they've been around for, you know, 150 years at least, or since the Civil War.
Yeah, we've kind of always had some type of absentee balloting where you have a reason, like you're away at war or something like that, to justify why you can't be there on Election Day. But no excuse mail-out balloting is a risk. Now, certain states have slowly and deliberately moved to universal mail-out balloting, and that deliberate and slow pace seems to have worked well for them. I'm actually not a huge fan of it either way, but if you're going to do it, you have to do it methodically and carefully. You have to have really clean voter lists. You have to have voter ID associated with the ballot. And what happened in 2020 is everyone just rushed into it without any precautions, messy ballots. And then also, again, Mark Zuckerberg had funded the bringing in of left-wing activists into these election offices. So all of their decisions were kind of polluted by their partisanship.
And there were also even boxes or something like that where votes could be deposited, and there wasn't the chain of custody. So there was the possibility for fraud.
Well, again, these were ballot drop boxes where, for one thing, it's illegal to harvest. You're not supposed to take other people's ballots and put them in. That was happening everywhere. They were poorly monitored. They were, out in the open air. They might have a video camera. They might not. They certainly didn't have any audio to detect what's going on. And then the chain of custody issues that you cite, like imagine that you do put ballots in there and then someone goes and picks them up. Like, how do you know that they've picked up all the right ones? How do you know that they've transported them properly? They're supposed to fill out paperwork. I go in detail into Fulton County, Georgia, where the Republican election judges did not vote to certify their results there. And one of the reasons was they were never given confidence that the ballot custody issues were appropriately taken care of precisely as it relates to these drop boxes.
Will we be able to trust the vote in 2022?
Well, I think what's really important is that people understand that voting integrity doesn't just happen magically, and it is one of those issues that we ourselves have to be involved in. And because we've expanded voting from a one-day thing to a three-month thing, that means that the number of people who are supposed to observe and notice if anything's going on when the ballots are received or when they're trafficked or what's going on is just exponentially higher. And so if people care about this, and they should, they absolutely should, then they need to become more involved. They need to sign up to be an election observer. I think in many states you can actually get paid to do it. You can meet people, you can be part of the process, learn what the rules are, make sure people are following them so that we all can have confidence. I mean, right now, Republicans are upset about it, but this is frankly a very bipartisan issue, depending on how things go. And we should all care about making sure that our elections are secure and that we can trust them, because that's the only way you have a republic like ours is if you can trust these elections.
Is there any comment you want to make from the founding fathers themselves, any observations they made about making sure that our elections are free, fair, and accurate and trustworthy?
Well, it's funny that you even said free and fair, because that's common language that's in the state constitutions at our founding. And what they meant by that, free and fair, was that they weren't, unduly influenced by outside moneyed interests. And that is really what we had happen in 2020 with Mark Zuckerberg's takeover of our election system. He completely embedded in these blue counties and cities in swing states to affect the outcome of our election. And you can't have one of the world's most powerful and wealthy men take away our right to determine who our leaders are. And in this case, it affected not just the presidency, but the Senate. And it was a hugely important thing, and it just can't be allowed. And that's why a lot of states have voted to ban it in its aftermath.
Okay, we have 30 seconds left. What do you want to say to wrap things up?
Just that people should not despair, that we've always cared about voting issues in this country. We've always had to fight for them, and we're not special for having to fight for them. But it's important that we know what was done so that we can more effectively improve the situation.
Yeah, because voter integrity, I mean, you've got to have that. If you don't have that, like you say, how do you have a fair and free country? Okay, what's the website for the book, or is there one?
Well, you can get the book wherever. You can get the book Rigged, How the Media, Big Tech, and Democrats Seized Our Elections at any bookstore. And my website is thefederalist.com, and we have plenty of information on the book there, too.
Okay, thank you so much, Molly Hemingway. All the best.
Thank you.